Andy. Thank you, Darren and Andrea. Thank you to our sound crew. I can thank everybody this morning that's involved in a very simple program. I do want to thank our church family. You have been incredibly faithful. 12 weeks ago, when this pandemic first hit, we had 1 week, the very first week, where we had a little hiccup in your giving, and you have been steady and faithful, and I want to thank the church family for that. I have to be honest, I had fears as to this is a big operation, and there's a lot of employees and facilities and buildings, and it was a little test of my faith, but you have been incredibly faithful, and I want to thank our church family for that. And and another part of that is body life, our fellowship. I was very concerned about the needs being met of all the people in the church, and our servants of the Lord, ministry leaders, have been faithful, and all the groups have been contacting one another and encouraging one another and making sure that everybody's needs were met. And I'm sure we've missed some, but there has been a concerted effort on the part of our body, our church family. And the body has, you know, risen up. The Spirit of God has empowered the body of Christ at East Auburn. And I have witnessed over and over and over again faithful servants serving the church and calling and contacting, and I'm so thankful for the body life of East Auburn. And church, for 3 months you have been faithfully reaching out and ministering, and I want to thank the church family. I want to thank all of our volunteers. Each of these weekends has taken a ton of work, even though, I mean, the paid staff, we're thankful. I've been steadily employed. I didn't have 1 week where I was off. And so if you've been wondering what I've been doing, I want you to know we've been busy and working hard, but our volunteers and staff have just done an incredible job. And even a weekend like this weekend, the setup and just the preparation is a big task. I'm so thankful for all of our volunteers and all the workers at the great job that they have done. So we are talking about making the most of every season. There's a story, and I don't have the details this morning, but it just bubbled up as I was sitting and thinking about this over here. There's a story, and it was either a Mr. Honda or a Mr. Toyota, and I'm not sure which one, and the last name wasn't that, but it was one of the now huge car companies that during World War II, as their nation was being bombed, they were collecting the shell from the bombings and using that metal to make cars or to make motorcycles or... And it's a famous story, and it's more powerful if I had a couple details. I just have a vague memory of it, but I remember hearing about it, and it was inspiring because it was about an individual that was in the worst of circumstances but made the best of it. That's what we're talking about, making the most of every season. We're in a difficult season, and we want to make the most of it. And so we're looking at the life of Joseph. Joseph had an incredibly difficult life, but Joseph was able to trust God, and the end results was wherever he was at, he prospered, he grew, he matured, and he was blessed. So even though he was given an incredible dream at 17, that excitement from that dream was short-lived, and he felt rejection by his family eventually to the point where they sold him into slavery. But in that servitude setting, Joseph grew and was blessed, and God used him. There he's falsely accused, and he is put in prison, but in prison he prospers. Joseph was able to take the worst of circumstances and glean the best out of it. He grew, he matured, and it moved him forward. Well, we want to make the most of every season. The verse of scripture that we've been looking at comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." If we were to look at those words, I did, in the Hebrew, we could give a translation that would say this: every appointed occasion has something that God wants to do. So even though God doesn't make all things happen, meaning he is not a God that does evil things, he allows things to happen, but in those seasons, he has something that he wants to do. So if we're faith-filled, what are we doing? We're looking for what God wants to do in this season. What does God want to do in my life in this season? How does God want me to grow in this season? What is God trying to say to me, to you, to us in this season? God has things that he wants to accomplish in you and probably through you in this season of time. And then verse 11 of the same chapter, Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11 says, "He, God, has made everything beautiful in its time." God will make everything right ultimately. He's going to bring a beauty out of this time. And so we're going to be seeking to maximize this time. How can I grow? How can I learn? What good things can come from this difficult season? And even though some of you, this hasn't been difficult. Some people said, this has been great. They've had family time and they have worked on projects around their home, and they're getting unemployment, which is more than they usually make in their work week. It's been very difficult. Others have felt isolated and have lost income. It's affected their business. Some have had the virus and have been very ill. And thankfully, praise the Lord, in our fellowship, all have found healing. And we praise the Lord for that. Amen? I mean, we're thankful. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Thank God when he has given grace in situations of sickness and brought healing. And we're thankful for that. And we pray God would continue to do that. And we know that there are many suffering in our nation and around the world. But as we go through this season, we want to glean all the good things we possibly can. Now, three good things have happened. And I've noted this, I've said this a couple of times in the last week. And these are the three things that we are real obvious. Number one, we are growing. When you go through an adversity, God's intention is that you would grow, that you would mature. And this is an adversity. This is something that none of us have ever experienced in our lifetime. This is an unusual circumstance that has brought stress and difficulty, but we're growing. And the Bible says in Romans 5:3 that tribulation produces endurance. Hardship produces strength. James 1:3-4 also say the same thing. Now, so we're growing. Number two, we're doing good deeds. In Galatians 6:10, it says this: "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those that are of the household of faith." So not only are we to be growing during this time of adversity, and I talk a lot about growth because I'm getting ready next month to turn 62. I've never been 62 before. I don't know what being 62 is like. But I know that things change as you get older, and I need to be growing. The outward man's perishing, the scripture says, but the in... I know you're all surprised. You can't believe. 62, I see you in shock. But the outward man's perishing, but the Bible says the inward man's being what? Renewed day by day. We're growing. We're growing. And so Jesus grew. We need to grow. And this during this time, there's, you know, it's caused fears that we've never had before. And we want to learn to trust God in this storm. Keep our fixed faith on Jesus in this storm. And so this text says that we need to look for opportunity, seek opportunity. There's lots of needs around. Hopefully it's not just about what I can get in this season. The Bible says that it records that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than receive. The individual that has a parasite mentality, always looking only what they can get in their family relationship, in their marital relationship, in their friendships. People don't have rich relationships that are just takers. What can I get? But people have rich relationships that know how to give. So in this pandemic, we have more opportunity. Needy people, lonely people, people that we need to check in on and make sure they're okay. We have opportunity to do good. And then it notes, especially to those that are the household of faith. And brothers and sisters, we need to take care of each other. Number three, glorify God. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, if you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 41, verse 52. This could have been the theme verse for this whole series. It's a great verse of scripture, and I love it because in it, the second son of Joseph, we're going to see that one of the great blessings God gave him when he went to Egypt was a new position that had all the blessing of the Lord. The Lord promoted him in the adversity. We want to look for how God wants to promote us, move us forward, mature us, bless us in it. And he was blessed with a brand new position, powerful position. He was blessed beyond anything he could have dreamed of, but he had a dream, so he actually had a dream that told him that he was going to be blessed in this way. But it was 13 years that he had to wait. Well, his second son, he calls him Ephraim. And this is what the name Ephraim, why he called him Ephraim. He says, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I want you to note that phrase. If you get nothing else out of this, it's kind of a devotional because we don't have a lot of time. Last night I got done preaching 20 minutes. I just did intro. Last night was terrible. Don't look at Saturday night's message. It's not worthwhile, okay? Got home, my wife said, how'd you do? I said, well, got the intro done. But this verse is a powerful verse. God has caused me, he made it happen, to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. When you're in a place of affliction, a place of difficulty, God can cause you to be fruitful. The child of God, remember, and there's a lot of illustrations of this. We're going to see that, you know, in the fiery furnace, God was present. In the prison where Paul and Silas is, they're worshiping and praising God. They're fruitful in the place of affliction. So if you wait for everything to be perfect, to think that that's where fruitfulness is going to be found, most of life is tough. And usually when you go through one difficulty, you think, whew, glad I got through that, finally. And then if you have three of them, I don't know where this came from, but people think, you know, things come in threes. Well, guess what? They also come in fours and fives and sixes. two sets of threes. 7, 8, 9, another set of threes. The reality of life is that it is tough, but we can be fruitful in the place of affliction. We go through difficult times and be fruitful, and that's what we want to have happen in this difficult time. Now, as we look at our outline that we're using for this series, making the most of every season from the book of Genesis chapter 39 through 50, we've seen that we've talked about dreams, and that's where God tells Joseph what he's going to do with his life. We have the Word of God and the Spirit of God that tells us God's plans and God's purposes for us. We have entitlement that has been given, called the sons and the daughters of God, called kings and priests. We have these entitlement that God has given us in His Word that tells us the dreams were used to help Joseph see what God had planned for him. The disappointments came, and we've talked a lot about the disappointments. And then in all of those disappointments, there was development. He grew. He matured. So as you journey to become what God has planned and purposed for you, you're going to have difficulties, but hopefully you grow in those difficulties. You gain endurance in those difficulties. And then today, we're going to be talking about the delights that He gives us along the way. The delights that He gives us along the way. I'd like you to turn with me to Genesis 39, if you would. Genesis chapter 39. And we're just going to look at some of the delights that was given to Joseph along the way. We just read about one of them, the verse of Scripture that we looked at where he named his son Ephraim. His sons were part of the delight that he had along the way, even though he went through all 13 years of adversity. But here I want to note the delights. These are the things that encourages us in the journey. And for the child of God, no matter what we go through, whatever adversity God allows, whatever difficulty, we've been promised His presence. We've been promised His grace, which is His power. And so as we go through difficult times, how are we going to maximize this season? Well, we need to turn to the Lord that is, in fact, present in our life and ask Him for His strength and His help. We've been commanded to go to the throne of God in Hebrews 4, to the throne of God. He says, in your time of need, turn to my throne, turn to me, because I have grace and mercy to help you. That's the resources of God for the child of God. That's the delights we have, the benefits and the blessings we have. The individual that goes through the same adversities that we go through, they go it alone. We go it with God in His presence. But His presence, we have to, it's relational. It's like in a family unit, at least our family unit, we all look to each other to help each other out. We work together. It's not perfect. We have a family unit like yours that has times of tension and times of disagreement. I won't tell you all about that this morning, but I can give you some recent illustrations of that in my family unit, and most of you could. Amen? Anybody have any? Nope, no problem. Don't have a problem with your dog, Shirley, or cat or whatever, even if you just have an animal. They get mad at you. My dog was pouting yesterday because I wasn't home. I have been gone too many days, I guess, and she was putting on the pout, you know, feeling sad, kind of mad. Well, but what am I illustrating? So if you're in a family relationship, we help each other. We serve each other. Well, our relationship with God, He's present, but He requires that we ask. Ask, He says. Ask, seek, knock. Go to my throne. Make request. He knows our need, but He requires that we yield our will and humble ourselves and ask Him to do what only He can do. So those are the blessings we have. So in our text, Genesis 39, as Joseph had been taken, verse 1, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who were taken from him down there. Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. So here he is, sold into slavery, sold to Potiphar, but the Lord is with him. Here is a delight in the difficulty of the presence of the Lord. The Lord is with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did prosper in his hand. So he's in a place of affliction, but he's fruitful. You can be put in a difficult place, but have the blessing of the Lord. To see that this is illustrated in another setting, chapter 39, look at verse 20 with me. Chapter 39, same chapter, but verse 20. This is after another disappointment, another difficulty. Because things are going great with Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife hits on Joseph, and he refuses to give into her seeking to seduce him. And then she falsely accuses him of wrongdoing. So Potiphar throws Joseph in prison. So he has all these ups, but he has downs. And this is a down. But in that downtime, God blesses him. He's put in prison. But look what happens with Joseph in prison. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison, verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. And the keeper of the prison did not look to anything that was under Joseph's authority. Listen to this. Because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So he was fruitful in places of affliction, in difficult places. The Lord's presence makes a difference as we go through this pandemic. He is with us. We may be ill, but he is with us. We may go through economic hardship, but he is with us. Even the church, East Auburn, we can trust that he is with his church. Amen? He is present. I was thinking this morning, one of the things a pastor does is, you might not know this, but in 40 years of pastoring, as the pastor of this church, I know who attends by and large. And when people don't attend for a while, I'll be thinking about them. They'll come to my mind and I'll go, I haven't seen them in a long, long time. In the past 12 weeks, do you know how many times I've thought about how many people I haven't seen in church? It's such a habit of mine. I'll be thinking, man, I haven't seen them. And I'll go, oh, that's right, we're not having church. How could I possibly see them? Because church hasn't been gathering. It's been like a nightmare for me. Because at least usually I can keep track of, you don't sit here, you sit over there. But I'm glad you're here. Rutenberg's, everybody's misplaced. You're done. You're supposed to be over there. Phil, you move around a little bit. Surely I know where you're supposed to sit. What are you doing here? Go over there and sit down. No, I know where this family's displaced. I know not only what service you're in. Gail's leaving. I'm sorry, Gail. Love you, sister. She says, I'm out of here. He's going to point me out. No, I won't. Okay, it's almost time. I got 2 minutes on my clock. And I'm going to take those 2 minutes. Listen to the thing. God, the delight is in the difficulty is the presence of the Lord. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. I'll end with this verse. It's a little Bible study, a little spiritual food for your soul. I hope it's fed your soul a little bit. Find the delight in the difficulties. The delight is what? The Lord is with you. The Lord is present. His presence is never passive. He's not, you know, some people can be in a room and no one know whether they were there or weren't there because they don't make a difference. When God is present, he makes a difference. We need to recognize his presence, draw from that. The child of God, you've been under unusual demand during this pandemic, and he wants to restore those things that are being depleted in your soul, encourage you and minister to you. Here, Paul's gone through incredible difficulties. He's adversity. And he says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. So when all the other props of your life have been knocked out, things you were leaning on that suddenly is not there, might be your routine or your income or your physical strength or your ability to be in control. I don't know about you, but man, I've been out of control in the sense of I don't have a clue what's happening next or what can we do, what can't we do, what should we do, what shouldn't we do? This whole thing has thrown us off. May 1st, I was supposed to go to Michigan to my mom's 85th birthday. It was a big plan, big celebration. I didn't go. Couldn't go. My house is, I'm an empty nester. My daughter and son-in-law is in the room next to us, the room she grew up in. His brother is in the room across from us. My grandson is in the room down here. They're all living in our house, all young people. Party house all the time. Cooking and music and movies and messes and groceries. Out of control. It's wild. But it's good when you're going through something. Oh, I had a baby born. A brand new baby daughter. Yes. And Nate and Lisa. Praise the Lord. But usually we'd have been there. That was our plan. All of our plans. This has changed all of that. Not in control. I like to be in control. Can't control anything. But God is with us. Here's the phrase, 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood with me, but he wasn't just with me, he strengthened me. Let the Lord strengthen you during this time. The Lord is with you. Let him strengthen you and minister to you. Lord, thank you for your word to your people. I pray your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you'll be dismissed by the attendants. Thank you for your grace in that. None of this is comfortable or convenient. And once you get outside, be sure to fellowship with one another and talk to one another and enjoy the body life of Jesus. We have 105 acres of land. We can have plenty of space. So God bless you. Have a great week. And Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Thanks.